content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from AARP Magazine and also Money.com. Here's an interesting article from the AARP Magazine. Are my old coins worth a small fortune? A lesson in valuing the change in your junk drawer. How do you get a fair price for old coins when you don't know what they're worth? And that was the question my father-in-law, Howard, and I faced last summer. He had a pile of change inherited decades ago, a 50-cent piece from 1826, a penny minted during the Civil War, a silver dollar from 1885, and six more from the 1920s. I had a $2 bill from the 1950s and some pristine John F. Kennedy half dollars from 1964, the last year the U.S. minted silver coins for circulation. It all seemed like a potentially valuable stash, and we were both ready to sell. But we were also ignorant about coin collecting, so I volunteered to take the lead and talk to a range of coin experts, numismatists, to use a fancy word, to get their advice about valuing currency and selling it. Fantasies of antiques roadshow began swimming in my head, those thrilling moments when someone says, "That little old thing you brought in, it's worth a zillion dollars." Here's what I learned on my quest for knowledge and riches. Lesson 1. Most things are common. That sobering bit of wisdom came from Mitch Sanders, a columnist for the Numismatists, the magazine of the American Numismatists Association. You know what's common? My lovely 1964 Kennedy half dollars. The mints made them in the millions. People save them in the millions, said Mark Schimmel, New York City store manager for Stax Bowers Galleries, one of the biggest coin auctioneers. They all look beautiful because people didn't spend them. Lesson 2. Common things can have some extra value. Like other 20th century half dollars, dimes, and quarters, minted before 1965, my half dollars are 90% silver. Even if such a coin from that era isn't a valuable collectible, its silver content gives it a melt value used by dealers as a way to value it for purchase and sale, though they won't necessarily melt it down. Doug Musinger, owner of Brighton Tokens and Coins in Rochester, New York, explained to me that every dollar's worth of those pre-1965 coins, after wear and tear, contains about 0.715 ounces of silver. So one day last fall, when the metal was trading at $19.37 an ounce, you could have multiplied that price by 0.715 to learn that a dollar's worth of silver coins contained about $13.85 worth of silver, nearly 14 times the face value of the coins. If I had walked in that day with a handful of dimes and quarters totaling $3, Musinger said it would have bought them for $36, or 12 times face value, leaving himself some room for profit. It's a long walk from my home to Rochester, so I skipped the trip. Lesson 3. Oldies aren't necessarily goodies. I had high hopes for Howard's 1920 silver dollars. They were 100 years old. No wear, no tear. silver value about $15 alone. Sadly, I learned I might get only $25 or $30 a piece for them. Why? Millions more of these coins were minted than people needed, explained Sarah Miller, managing director of the New York City Office of Heritage Auctions, another top auctioneer. They sat in government vaults for decades, she said. Lesson 4. Condition can count for a lot. The same coin from the same year can be worth $4 or $4,000, depending on its condition, Musinger said. Before valuable coins are bought and sold by serious collectors, they're usually assessed by independent third-party firms that will assign the coins a number grade on a scale of 1 to 70, based on the presence or absence of factors including scratches, corrosion, and luster. Howard's 1826 half dollar was in good shape. Examining it through a loop, Miller guessed a grading service would place it in the $40 or $50 range, something a dealer would sell then for $150 and buy for a little less. Schimmel priced it about the same. In worn condition, he told me, it would be only worth about $30. But condition also worked against Howard and me. His 1885 dollar had a dark, sooty streak across Lady Liberty's face and a prominent nick on the rim. That's an ugly coin, said Musinger. We'd pay $25. He liked the Copper Silver War token, which was privately minted in the North in 1863, when desperate merchants struck their own pennies amid a shortage of coins. It's a great piece of history, he said. But that's where his compliments ended for the bent, worn, and corroded coin. It be in our junk box for $3, he told me. My series 1953A $2 bill? It was folded and worn. In that condition, said Schimmel, spend it. Lesson 5. Ultimately, values lie in rarity. All too often on my quest, I heard the words if and instead, as in if you had a 1928 peace dollar instead of a 1922, it would be worth 10 times as much. What gooses the price of coins is quantity. How many coins just like it have survived in as good or better condition? How many were minted in a particular year and at a particular mint? While more than 17 million 1885 dollars were like Howard's ugly coin minted in Philadelphia, only 228,000 were minted in Carson City, Nevada, carrying a CC mint mark. Even a damaged 1885 CC is worth a few hundred dollars, said Miller. So there I was at the end of my antique coin roadshow. Not a big winner. I like to think of this as a treasure hunt, Miller had told me. You're helping people look for something that's valuable, and you hope that you can find it. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. Our next article from Money.com, cheapest way to move. The average person moves more than 10 times in their life, and depending on how far they go and how many belongings they have, it can cost anywhere from $500 to over $10,000 each time. Moving doesn't have to be an exceedingly expensive process, though. With the right methods, like recruiting friends or family to help and finding free packing supplies, you can find ways to cut costs and stay on budget. Use this guide to help find the cheapest way to move. 7 ways to move for cheap. To save money while moving, you must have a plan and apply the right cost-saving strategies for your unique situation. Consider these ways to move for cheap and choose the ones that work best for you. Number 1, find free packing supplies. Packing supplies like moving boxes, bags, bubble wrap, packing tape, and plastic wrap add anywhere from $270 to $2,200 to your moving budget on average, according to Home Advisor, a marketplace that connects homeowners and local home service professionals. The more rooms and square footage you have in your home, the more you should expect to pay for packing supplies when moving. Finding free packing supplies instead of purchasing them is one way to cut down on your moving cost. To find moving boxes for cheap or free of charge, try these strategies. Ask friends, family, neighbors, or coworkers who moved recently if they'll give you their packing supplies. Check online community groups on Facebook, Craigslist, Buy Nothing Online communities, and other social media sites for people giving away moving supplies. Go to local businesses like furniture and grocery stores to ask for their used boxes. And head to a local recycling center to check for free cardboard boxes. Even if you can't find all the packing supplies you need for free, you can often find affordable moving supplies on resale sites like eBay and Facebook Marketplace. Shop for cheap moving boxes online to save money on your packing supplies. You can also repurpose things that are already in your home as packing supplies. Suitcases can be used to transport books or other heavy items, while towels, blankets, socks, and even a stack of newspapers can all act as substitutes for traditional wrapping and cushioning materials. Don't forget to save the packing materials from previous mail deliveries, such as cardboard boxes, packing peanuts, or bubble wrap. Number two, declutter your home. Every additional item you want to take with you during your move will add to the overall cost of moving. Declutter your home before you move to reduce the amount of stuff you need to pack and bring down your moving cost. Amid all the stress of moving, decluttering can feel like an overwhelming task, so be sure to start early and get motivated. Remind yourself how nice it will be to get rid of things that you aren't using anymore, and to save money and start fresh in your new home. To ease into the process, begin decluttering a room or area in your house that you don't use very often, like your attic or garage. These areas are more likely to have things you can get rid of without extensive deliberation, helping you get the ball rolling. Sort items into piles depending on what you plan to do with them. Trash, recycle, donate, sell, and keep. If you pack up the items you plan on keeping as you go, you'll be able to tackle two tasks at once. Items you no longer plan to keep can then be taken to the following places: local Buy Nothing groups, recycling centers for cardboard, glass, metal, and fabrics, thrift stores that accept donations, electronics retailers like Verizon and Best Buy for used electronics, homeless shelters, and animal shelters for old towels and linens. Number three, see if friends and family are willing to help. If you have friends or family members who are willing to help you move, that can save you hundreds or even thousands of dollars over paying for professional movers. You should expect to pay around $50 per hour per professional mover. So even a few friends working together for half a day to help you move would save and make a big difference to your moving cost. Make sure that you give your friends or family plenty of notice ahead of your move. They will appreciate the notice and be much more likely to help compared to asking a day or two before you're moving. It's a nice gesture to have refreshments ready for your helpers and to let them know how much you appreciate their help. Number four, hire day laborers. Anyone who doesn't have family members or friends available to help them move can turn to day laborers to help save money while moving. Hiring day laborers is cheaper than using full-service movers and lets you do most of the move yourself. When you hire day laborers, you still have to pack up your items, rent a truck, and drive it to your new home, just like in a do-it-yourself move. The day laborers will help with the heavy lifting of loading and unloading the truck, keeping down the time and effort it takes to move for a relatively low price. Generally, you pay day laborers by the hour, so ask them about their hourly rates and the estimated time they will need to move your heavy items. Keep in mind that not all day laborers are professional movers. Many moving companies allow you to hire their workers for labor-only moving jobs, in which case the day laborer should be licensed and insured. If you hire day laborers who aren't professional movers, such as local college students, you will likely pay less, but you won't have the peace of mind of working with an insured professional. To find day laborers to help you move, check third-party online marketplaces like Craigslist and Facebook, or a day laborer center, an organization that connects homeowners and small business owners with local skilled day laborers. Number 5. Compare quotes from several truck rental companies. To save money, you can rent a moving truck that you drive yourself instead of hiring full-service movers to transport your items. Choosing the first truck rental company you find may sound convenient, but it will probably lead you to spend more than necessary on your truck rental. The best moving companies are ones with affordable prices and strong customer ratings, so read testimonials and online reviews to get an idea. You should shop around for several truck rental companies and request quotes from at least 3 or 4 of them. You don't have to choose the cheapest company, but by comparing quotes, you're much more likely to find an affordable moving truck rental company that suits your needs. And be aware of moving scams in your search. Most legitimate truck rental companies won't ask for large deposits or full payment up front. If a company has no reviews or many negative reviews, you're better off looking elsewhere. Number 6. Consider renting a moving container. If you aren't willing to drive a rental truck yourself, another option is renting a moving container. Moving container companies drop off the moving container at your home, give you time to pack all your belongings, and move them into the container, and then they transport the container to your new address for you. While renting a moving container is typically more expensive than renting a moving truck, it's still more affordable than using a full-service mover, even after gas and mileage fees. Expect to pay around $700 on average for a local move and about $3,500 for a long-distance move using moving containers, according to data from Hire a Helper, a site that helps you search for local moving services. Some moving container companies also provide storage, which may be useful if you can't move all your belongings into your new home immediately. Number 7. Use your own vehicle for most of the move. For someone moving from a smaller home, such as a one-bedroom or two-bedroom home, using your own vehicle for the majority of the move is a great cost savings option. Transporting all or most of your belongings in your vehicle can help cut down the amount of time you need to rent a moving truck, saving you money. Unless you already have a truck, however, you'll probably need to make several trips to get all your things to your new home. If your vehicle has towing capabilities, attaching a trailer to the back of your car and loading it up with your stuff can help reduce the number of trips you have to make. What is the average cost of moving? The average cost of moving is highly dependent on how far you're moving. According to data from Home Advisor, the national average cost of a local move, a move within 100 miles, is just over $1,700. An interstate or long-distance move is generally more expensive, averaging around $4,800. The most costly type of move is an overseas international move. These moves can cost $20,000 or more, largely due to the high price of shipping items via plane or cargo ship. Beyond the distance of your move, many other factors affect how much you'll pay for moving. The volume of belongings you're moving, the timing of your move, and the locations of your previous and new homes will all play a role in determining your moving cost. Tips to help you afford the move. You don't have to wait until the week of your move to start preparing and finding ways to save money. Beyond finding free packing supplies and using cheap moving services, try these tips in the months leading up to your move to make it as affordable as possible. Start saving ahead of time. It's a good idea to start saving money to help you pay for your move as soon as you learn that you'll be moving shortly. Saving even a small amount every week can go a long way by the time you're ready to move. In most cases, you will know months ahead of time that you're going to move, so don't wait until the last minute to start saving. Put your moving fund in a safe place, like a savings account, so it's ready when it's time for you to move. Know how much you expect to spend. Knowing how much you will likely have to spend to move will help you set your savings goals and prepare. Keep in mind that all factors that affect the cost of moving and estimate your total move and cost ahead of time. You can use an online moving cost calculator to help you get an idea of what you'll have to spend. Don't forget about stray moving expenses like gas and lodging that aren't directly included in your moving cost. Plus, if you have specialty items like pianos or plants that are difficult to transport without damage, expect to pay more to move them. Keeping your plants safe during a move isn't easy, so it generally costs more to package and ship them. Sell unwanted items and use the money to move. When you're decluttering to make your move cheaper, setting aside unwanted items to resell can help boost your moving savings. You can sell new items and used items online on marketplaces like eBay, Facebook, Marketplace, Craigslist, and Poshmark. All you'll need is a camera, such as the one on your smartphone, and a description of each item to start listing your unwanted items for sale online. Research similar items that already sold to get an idea of how much you should price your listings. You might be surprised how much money you can make off items, and those funds can go towards paying for your move. Bear in mind that selling your unwanted items is an additional time investment beyond the time you'll spend preparing for your move. If you're pressed for time, this may not be the best option for you. Check if your employer offers relocation assistance. If you're moving to a new location for work, check to see if your employer offers relocation assistance. An employee relocation package is a financial benefit your employer may provide to help employees pay for their moving expenses when they have to move to a new location for work. These packages can be worth anywhere between $2,000 and $100,000, depending on your role at the company, and whether you're a new hire or current employee, and whether you own or rent your home. Depending on the package your employer offers, relocation assistance could cover all moving costs. Make sure you take advantage of this option if it's available to you. And this article is from Money.com. The average tax refund is 11% smaller than last year so far. Taxpayers are beginning to receive refunds from the IRS for the 2023 filing season, and the early data indicates the average amount is smaller than last year. That's not surprising. The IRS warned Americans in November that the average refund amount may be lower for their 2022 taxes than it was for 2021. This is in part because no one's getting stimulus checks or expanded child tax credit payments this time around. As of February the 3rd, the average refund was $1,963, down 10.8% from $2,201 in 2022, according to the most recent numbers released by the IRS. The data comes from 18.9 million tax returns the IRS received, which is up 16.7 million from the same time last year. Why this matters? Taxpayers are getting less money back from the IRS this filing season, One of the main reasons, however, is the unique circumstance involving stimulus payments that only applied to taxpayers who didn't directly receive a stimulus check. People who were eligible for stimulus checks in 2021 and didn't get them were able to claim the amount they were owed on their taxes last filing season. That led to a higher than normal typical refund amount, an average of $3,252. The IRS also said refund amounts would be different in 2023 due to changes in several pandemic special tax credits. Last year, some Americans received larger tax refunds thanks to the expanded child tax credit, which provided parents with up to $3,600 per child. The tax credit still exists, but the maximum has reverted to $2,000 per child for the taxes Americans are filing now. The bottom line, while the numbers will change as tax season goes on, so far it's looking like the IRS's prediction was right. Most refunds will be smaller this year. That could be disappointing for some taxpayers, given that a recent survey showed 29% of U.S. adults were expecting larger refunds. And our last article, and we'll probably have to edit this due to time constraints, half of Americans say they're worse off financially now than they were a year ago. Half of Americans say their financial situation is worse than it was a year ago, according to a new Gallup poll. The last time this many people were feeling pessimistic about their money was during the Great Recession, which stretched from 2007 to 2009. Of the 1,000-plus people asked about their personal finances between January 2nd and January 22nd, 50% said they are worse off now than they were a year ago. 35% said they are better off now than they were a year ago. This is a departure from 2022 and 2021, when the same portion of Americans, or 41%, said they were better off as they said they were worse off. And we are out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.